family.
Morning.
So our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. Heaven on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that reading. Good morning, church. We love you. We appreciate you. We're glad to have you to be with you today. We're richly blessed to have Kara and Sister Barbara with us. Thank God for that. Also, great to see David Richardson here and to see him surprise his mom. That was a nice moment. She had no idea. Thank you for giving for food for the Ukraine. We ask the elders to ask you to give money to help for Bibles at this time of year. We got a request from Sun Valley for different congregations in the valley to give for that, and thank you for that. But also thank you for your giving. Thank Lyle for the work he does and the trustworthiness of him and this congregation in giving the things we want to do in above and beyond, above board. And because of that, an organization that I've contacted, they've contacted me. We've had conversations. They've helped us before when we talked about the Ukraine. And, we have a discussion. I'll try is the key word, to cut the sermon down a little bit shorter because Lyle's going to give a presentation of the budget after that. So stay for that. But you are very giving people, and we appreciate you. And we, as they were preparing the budget, I said, let's challenge them a little bit. Let's add and see our faith to grow. We want to do what God's will is. If we're wrong, we'll adjust it, but we want to challenge us to grow. But I had my faith challenged this week as we received a check from this organization to help us with food for Ukraine for $50,000. I didn't see that coming. And God is good. And here is a group of people who will help children in need and families in need with food. There are a lot of good things happening in the world. Praise God for that. But thankful for you being a part of that and being people who they would also trust to pass that on to get to the Ukraine. We try to work with people that we know and we trust. Let me say I need to apologize that, just because it's in my notes, it doesn't get to my mouth. In the Wednesday sermon, I said at 1 o'clock that there's no children's Bible hour this month. That was wrong. And off the top of my head, you see what's there. There's no children's Bible hour on the 25th, okay? But, again, also in the Wednesday class, Mary Ellen asked for something to me to say she would like to have a class on questions and answers. We've done that before. We've had sermons on that. And so I'm not sure how I'll work with that yet, a class or sermons or combination of both. If you have Bible questions or something you want to study, give me a note, give me a piece of paper. If you were here a long time, you may remember my kids were here. We did this. My children, of course, being the jokesters that they are, have found in the NIV the shortest verse in Job that says, "He said," and yes, it was one of my children who turned in that topic for a sermon. We did a sermon on that because it was the Word of God. But anyway, We'll use some discretion on that, but if you want Bible questions and answers, not that I have all the answers, but, you know, my wife talks to me sometimes, and we'll do the best we can with a Bible answer and a Bible discussion. Also, we were looking at some things together, and we want to encourage you to read the Bible, be a daily Bible reader. And I'm not going to define that. I'm with a group of people, and it's on my phone, and I love that. You know, I'm waiting at the doctor. I'm at the bank. I'm at the red light, not driving, red light. Okay, we're here, and we're, you know, because I need accountability. There's about 18 or 20 of us in that group. And so I don't even pick the readings. And I'm reading this year, and I encourage you to do that maybe through a new speech translation. Because I'm reading, I hadn't seen and thought about it that way. But be in the Word of God. Jesus in John 15 said, if the Word of God dwells in us, we will bear fruit. We want to grow, we need to grow, but Jesus also talks about being faithful. But I encourage you to be a daily Bible reader. I said, I'm not going to define that, because you might read one verse and spend the rest of the day saying, what does God want me to do? What is God telling me here? Or, you know, go deeper into that. But again, and not just to read it, I did it, no, or get a badge, we're not going to give out badges, but we need to be in the Word of God. I have our first slide. I think you watch the good shows, right? Leroy Jethro Gibbs, right? You know this? But I don't know if you know the rest of this. Mark Harmon is his real name. But did you know he was a quarterback for UCLA? He was a quarterback for UCLA in 1972. And in those two seasons, he had a 17-5 season. Very respectable, very accomplished quarterback. But he tells the story. You see, his father, Tom Harmon, played for Michigan and won the 1940 Heisman. He tells the story of his mother because, and you know, who he associates with, very important. Mark tells the story. His father, Tom, knew two other guys there, and they were together a lot. And they also had won the Heisman. And so they're talking about football. They're talking about the Heisman. And Mark says his mom came in, the Heisman. Everybody's got a Heisman. What's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal. But in her, everybody she knew had a Heisman. Everybody's thinking about God came to earth and Jesus was born. It is a big deal. And we can get to where it's like, well, okay, Jesus is born. We don't know when he's born, but it is a big deal that the creator of heaven and earth became a human being, that he who created everything became part of the creation. We can illustrate it a couple ways, but it still falls short. I talk about you have an ant farm, and then you are able to become an ant. I mean, this is incredible truth. This changed history. God created male and female, and there's a lot of discussion. I listened to a tape this week from 1978, and a guy had read the book Future Shock. You may remember that book. And he said, in that book, I estimate that in the future, gay marriage will be accepted and open marriage. And it's like reading the headlines. But in our discussion, which we'll have more of, and this will be some of our topics as we go through the next year, we talk about read Psalm 23 for 2023, okay? But men and women in communication is always an important topic. I put a few of those on the Facebook page, the church Facebook page, because, you know, it's different. And so when I show you the slide in a second, every man will be able to identify it, every woman will be able to identify it. Every man will think he's right, every woman will think she's right. Take a second. We hired two people separated by a common language. They had avocados, so I got six milk, right? We don't think in the same way. God made us completely different on purpose. We're opposites, and opposites will attract by the plan and design of God. It would be boring if we're both the same. And so I travel to other countries, and we'll talk about things, and this is all over the world. This is not just here, you know. We use a little trick about now as you get older, this changes. I'll say to a guy, how many pairs of shoes do you have? And then ask his wife, how many pairs of shoes do you have? And they're not the same. But that's another sermon for another day, why men don't have a clue why women need another pair of shoes. This week in the news, Stephanie Griner was released from prison. I'm glad. But I learned this week that there are 50 other Americans held. 50, not just the Marine. 50 held in other countries. When you travel outside the United States, you do not have any constitutional rights. At all. It is very different in other countries. I told before the Ukraine a couple times. When you go to jail in the Ukraine, your family has to bring you food or you don't eat. It's not TV and air conditioning. It's and imagine Paul in a Roman dungeon in the first century, probably attached to Roman soldiers, at least very close by. It's crude conditions, maybe a pit, maybe a dungeon. And they usually died in those conditions. Again, you can't believe everything you hear in the news this week in the news. Nancy Pelosi was arrested for charges of treason and sedition. It's not true. Why is it we believe the news but don't believe the Bible? One writer writes about he took a spontaneous vacation. He said, I'll just go from place to place this time. He said, we spent 4 nights sleeping in the car. Okay? Plan ahead if you're going out of town. I could tell you a story about that. I told a class the other day, I think. But Jesus came to earth, and it wasn't unexpected, and it wasn't unplanned. For thousands of years before the world was created, God knew that Jesus would have to come and die on a cross. And so in Genesis 3:15, when Adam and Eve sinned, it's the first prophecy of Christ. Talking to Satan, you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. And God begins to put that plan into action. For at just the right time, Galatians says, under the law, Christ was born of a virgin under the law. Christ was a Jewish male, and he followed and lived under the law perfectly. And the coming of Jesus impacts our life. B.C., before Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. We tell our time from that. You know, the innkeeper, if there was one, really missed an opportunity. He could have said, yeah, here, spend the night here, and you can advertise. You know, the Son of God born here. That's our American culture, you know. Make a lot of money over this. The Bible does say there's an inn, there's no room. Surely there's an innkeeper, but we don't know that for sure. But we fill our things, like that innkeeper, we fill our lives with other things. Things that don't compare to Jesus. We spend our time advancing our career, building our house, our family, and to say we have no time for Jesus. In this time of year, how much room is in your heart for Jesus? Dr. Clifton Gaines, former president of Harding, addressing a football team, was telling boys, keep your hearts open for Jesus. Here in this context, they asked Jesus in John 5, what must we do to work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe in him who is sent, that we trust him, that we follow him. See, Jesus is saying, trust in the Christ, follow him. I don't know what all you'll do this week, but in following him, in trusting him, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, we will be able to do the work of God. To do the work of God, he did not say everybody must quit their jobs and only preach full time. We sometimes get that wrong concept, our concept of clergy and laity. No. Jesus calls for the priesthood of all believers. And the early church grew because every member spread the word. Here in this context, when Jesus was born, Herod missed it. The religious rulers who knew the prophecy of where he would be born, they missed it. The wise men came at their own expense and a long distance to find Jesus. Maybe a 4 or 5 month trip. They gave up the comforts of home. They spent their own money to travel, to give gifts to the King of Kings. We crowd our own lives. Here's a picture that we'll see in a minute. You see these this time of year. I talked in class last Sunday. This picture's wrong. The wise men did not visit Jesus in the manger. He visited him in Luke 2 in his own rented house. It's a nice picture. But we overspend, we overbook, we overestimate. We walk around tired. We crowd our lives. And truth can be crowded out of our lives because of all the good things we're doing. Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha have Jesus over to their house to eat. And I'm sure if we had Jesus over to our house to eat, we'd clean and get everything ready. But in that context, Martha worried about the details of the work. But Mary was willing to sit down and listen. What an opportunity to sit and hear the Son of God teach. You know the famous rebuke, Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things. Jesus often would repeat somebody's name twice. But Mary has chosen the better part. And that's really what we're talking about today, the one thing, the better part, spending time with Jesus. when all of life is over, what will matter? The presents? Time at the office? How much money you made? How you spent your money? Or will it matter to know Jesus? I enjoy the season. I enjoy family. I enjoy the food. But spending time with Jesus is important for all of us. For otherwise, we could preach the word and teach the word and never spend time with Jesus. In getting to know Jesus, we must know more than the facts. Born in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph, to know Jesus describes an intimate relationship in following him. And some things we think we know, like this, we really don't know. We see the pictures of Mary riding a donkey, you know, going to Bethlehem. No, that's not in there either. You may remember, if you've been here long, the PowerPoint we've shown with all the biblical facts that are really not in the Bible. Now, Mary's pregnant. Joseph's a loving, caring husband. I'm sure he took care of his wife. I don't know if there was a donkey. Maybe they had a cart. Maybe they both walked. Doesn't really matter. It's not really the gospel, okay? But there are a lot of things we call chimney scripture that aren't in there, like cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not there. And so here, we don't know if there's three wise men. We know there's three gifts. But let's not major on that. We know Jesus is not born on the 25th of December, but that's really not the main message of the gospel. Our next slide, we need to read and study to know the mind of Christ. Read the Bible to know Christ. Each one of us, not just the preachers, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Now again, our next slide, I have to check my Bible this next slide. I'm pretty sure that the cactus were not there. I don't know that. I haven't looked at that lately, but I'm pretty confident without looking. And it's a nice picture. I'd like it, you know. I feel comfortable with that, saying there's no cactus. But here in Matthew 2, 1-7, now Joseph has moved from a stable. And it's not a clean, brand new manger. It's probably been dirty, maybe been used. And you lay a baby in that. You think of the sterile environment we take when the baby is born. And now they've moved, being a good husband, to a rented house. Who knows that story? If somebody had compassion, oh, we got to get this family out of this barn. It took a period of time. And again, the next slide, there's a lot on the back table that we are, how one gets into Christ. And that's just the beginning. We talk a lot about this. I encourage you to take this and run it through your Bible. Read your Bible. Read the words that Jesus Christ himself said. We talked in class about baptism as an immersion. And sprinkling only came in the last few hundred years. The sinner's prayer only has been around about 150 years. It's not in the Bible. Great prayer, just not in the Bible. That's not how one gets into Christ. And here, we need to get the forgiveness that Christ came to offer, to give his blood, to shed his blood to pay for our sins. We need to contact that blood. Surely somebody who's going to give his life is going to explain how to get into Christ. People can be wrong. I've been wrong. But Christ's words are true. Read his words. See what he says. And you can trust him. If you do what God says, your sins are forgiven. It's not about how you feel. And many of us have taken this step, brought into union with Christ. We are obeying the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we participate in the gospel, and we die to sin, we're buried in water, and raised to walk in newness of life. But that's just the beginning. But because we do that, we obeyed the words of God, we've heard them, now we believe that God will do what God said he would do. Now as a Christian, we find ourselves less than perfect, and we sin. What is we do? We will get baptized again? No. Talked to somebody this week. I've been baptized three times. Well, but what we do as a Christian, and you still understand that we're sinners, is what God says to do. We don't make up the commandments. He makes up the commandments. And he tells us, confess, you've got repentance and confession. And what does it say? He's able to cleanse us from all of our sin. 1 John 1, as he read at the table, keep reading. The plan of God is to wash us clean of all of our sins. And it's not based on how I feel. Why? Because God is holy and pure and righteous. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But he wants us to be in his presence. For that to happen, he has to clean us up to be in his presence. He's a smart God. He's figured out a way to cleanse and pay for all of our sins. Unexpected company. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. The major point of the Bible. He died and rose from the dead, giving us victory over sin and death. The biggest two problems you have is not the price of gas, not what you're going to do tomorrow. It's sin and death, number one and number two. And God came to solve those problems. The good shepherd became a sheep. You have homework today. Did you know you have homework? It'll be a test. I'm not going to give it. Christ will give it. But as we go from this place, here's what I wanted you to do. Ephesians 1:17 says, I saw in class, talking about Christ, to know him better. Not do you know Christ, but we want to know him better. So here's our homework. We need to believe like Mary, trust like Joseph, hope like the shepherds, seek like the wise men, worship like the angels, and love like Jesus. Simple, right? No. But grace can help us do that. And God is able to completely save those who come to him. We know that the angels rejoiced when Christ was born. If one person comes back to the Lord, or one person is brought in union with Christ in baptism, the angels in heaven rejoice. We may not know what's happening in Kiev, in Moscow, in Washington. May not care. But we know that the angels rejoice when one person comes to the Christ. God came to earth so that we could be forgiven and to live with him forever. But he waits for us to volunteer to serve him. If you need to come to him, why don't you come?